it with you, you can use the Pew Bible in front of you. Turn to the book of Exodus. It's in the very beginning part of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Exodus chapter number 40, Exodus chapter number 40. Begin reading a couple of verses in just a moment or two. I wanted to say congratulations to Adrian and Zach. They had their beautiful daughter born. I'm going to let Stephanie, would you stand up and just give us all the pertinence, the first name, middle name, last name, height, weight, and all that. Amen. Yeah. So tiny, cute, wonderful, beautiful, an opportunity on Christmas Day. I'm feeling back just a little bit, gentlemen, that I had an opportunity to hold her in my arm. And even though she just weighs a few pounds, after about 10 or 15 minutes of holding her, I'm not used to doing this. You know, I'm like, all right, Diana, grandmas can hold her for hours and hours, but grandfathers, you know, just I can't really do that much. So we're praying for her and Adria as she recovers from the cesarean section, that she'll be with us very, very soon. All right, I'm going to start off by saying something rather unusual this morning. If you're considering a New Year's resolution for 2026, I might jokingly suggest this, that you might die. You say, you might die? Well, the truth of the matter is we don't know whether we're going to live or die, or have this breath or next breath. And here's the truth. If you're saved and born again, guess what? Your life after death is going to be far better than your life before. But I understand that death isn't for everyone this year, and I pray not for me and pray not for you. God's will be done. We understand that. But if you're not planning on dying in the next year, there's other resolutions that I think could make a good start for you for that new year. Here in Exodus chapter number 40, we find a new year beginning for the nation of Israel, and it's a significant event for the children of Israel. Verse 7 tells us this, in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was reared up. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, particularly the nation of Israel's history, you might recognize the importance of the tabernacle and the significance of this special day. The final chapters of Exodus primarily deal with Moses and the construction of the tabernacle. And as we look at this passage, we're going to look at some examples and pictures of the kind of things that you and I ought to strive for in this coming new year. As we think about Moses with the backdrop of the tabernacle, I'm going to explore some very practical steps you can take to start 2026 in a positive note. Having said that, then let's stand for the reading of God's Word found in Exodus chapter number 40. We'll begin reading in verse number 12 all the way down through verse number 17. Notice what the Bible says in Exodus 40, beginning in verse number 12. Now, and thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons, and clothe them with coats. And thou shalt anoint them, as thou didst anoint thy father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout the generations. Now pay particular attention to verses 16 and verse 17. Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, of the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. Let's pray. Father, I come before you this morning. We thank you, Father, for the wonderful year you have given us here at Sharon Baptist Church. But Father, this year wouldn't have been possible without your people, Father, surrendering to you, willing to be obedient to whatever you have commanded them to do. So Father, as we close out this year, and as we move forward into the year of 2026, Father, I pray, Lord, that you will help us to come to this understanding of a good way to start a new year. And Father, if there be someone here who does not know Christ as their Savior, Father, who never has been forgiven for their sin, and they place their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, Oh, Father, this is the very best way for them to begin the new year, Father, by being saved, becoming a child of God, being born again because of what Christ has done for us. So, Father, challenge the lost out of here today and be with the church as well. May we be empowered as we move into the new year. So, Father, we love you and we thank you. We praise you and give you honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, that Moses challenges us in three separate areas. Notice, first of all, if you're taking notes, number one, if you want to have a good start to the new year, you're going to have to, number one, decide your response to the Scripture. Decide your response to the Scripture. Look back up at the opening verse of the chapter, and verse number one, the Bible that we read, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying. Then the following 14 verses contains the Lord's instructions to Moses regarding the tabernacle. Now look at verse number 16. Thus did Moses, notice what the Bible said, according to all the Lord commanded him, so did he. So we understand this morning that Moses received a word from God, and then guess what? He obeyed it. Our Bibles are a living, authentic word of God. And what he expects of us and what he requests of us are clearly outlined in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Here we find that Moses reminds us of the appropriate response to God's word when you or I hear it. At the beginning of the year, I think that all of us should choose, like Moses, to obey the word of God. I think that's a good thing, that we ought to obey the word of God. I want us to notice a couple of things about Moses' response to God's word. Notice, first of all, how carefully Moses obeyed. Again, in verse 16, it says that Moses did what he did, notice the wording, according to, get the word, all that God, the Lord, commanded him. So in other words, Moses did exactly what God had asked him to do. His obedience is evident in this fact that in 14 verses, this phrase, the Lord commanded Moses, appears seven different times. I want you to see this morning that Moses was careful about what he did in obedience to the Lord. He followed the Lord's instructions exactly. I think a lot of Christians today say they want to obey God. I believe that's what's in their heart. They desire to obey God. They want to obey God, but guess what? They only want to obey God on their terms. For instance, they say this, Pastor, I'll gladly love my neighbors just as long as my neighbors are easy to get along with and they're easy to love and don't do anything that irritates me or do anything unloving to me. They say something like this, I'll give some of my money to God. They just aren't going to do anything crazy like give a tithe of all that they have or give a grace-giving missions offering through the local New Testament church. They'll definitely say this, I'll consider obeying God, but they won't be careful to obey God. And if they do obey Him, that's great, but it's no big deal. And if they fall short and are disobedient, not doing exactly what God asked them to do, they won't lose any sleep over it because it's not a big deal. You see, they're not careful to be obedient to the Lord's word. Let me ask you this question. What if your doctor practiced medicine the same way that you follow God? I'm going to repeat that because I want you to think about it. What if your doctor practiced medicine the same way that you follow God? Think about this. You might have a condition that requires a 30 milligram injection of a specific medication, but your doctor just kind of eyeballs it as he fills up the syringe. It may be 30, it could be 20, it could be 40. Who knows what it might be? Does being careful matter when the doctor is filling up that syringe to give you that medicine? I like to say, yes, it does matter. If your life is important to you, you should say, it does matter. It does matter to be careful to obey the instructions. And similarly, Moses reminds us to be careful on just how we follow God's commands. Not only do we see how carefully Moses obeyed, but notice secondly, how completely Moses obeyed. Notice in verse 16, it tells us that Moses did, the Bible says, all that the Lord commanded him. Don't overlook that little word all. Moses carefully and completely carried out the instructions that he was given concerning the tabernacle. I think some people today treat the Bible like a buffet. They pick and choose which instructions they want to keep, and they throw out those that they want to ignore. And while it's true that some parts of the scripture and specific commands only are applicable to a particular time and particular people in a particular place, but that doesn't change this very fact that God tells us in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16 that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And when we come to the New Testament, we find Jesus telling us this in John 14 and verse 15. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So in the context of our Christian life, what that means is that if we truly love Jesus Christ, we can't choose to obey one scripture principle and then ignore the other scripture principle. Some might say, "Well, Pastor, I like Ephesians 5 and verse 19. I do too. The Bible says, 'Be not drunk with wine.' I keep that one because I never get drunk." But that same person may gossip. They might criticize, they might slander, and might completely disregard the commandment that's found in Ephesians 4 and verse 29, where the Bible says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace upon the hearer." The point that I'm making this morning is that in Moses' example, you and I that live today are reminded that the Bible is not a book of friendly suggestions. It's God's word for his people. It's a perfect treasure of divine instruction for you and I. And I believe in the coming year that myself and you that are gathered here today ought to decide to respond as carefully and completely as Moses did and as we can in our own life. Well, this new year, we shouldn't only decide your response to the scripture, but then notice something else. You should deepen your relationship with the Savior. Deepen your relationship with the Savior. In Exodus chapter number 40, it deals almost exclusively with the construction of the tabernacle. The tabernacle served as a mobile temple for the children of Israel as they traveled throughout the 40 years of their wilderness wanderings. Get this, almost 13 chapters are devoted to describing and instructing the nation of Israel concerning this fascinating structure that's called the tabernacle. If you know anything about Israel's history, you know it was a key part of Israel's history. It remains an essential part of biblical revelation. So as we look at the tabernacle now through the lens of the New Testament, we recognize that it was more than just a temporary tent or a temporary temple. As a matter of fact, Dr. Stephen Alford wrote this. He explains the importance of the tabernacle to Christians to the day we live in today. He said this, "To the anointed eye, every detail of the tabernacle points to some aspect of the person and work of our Savior, Jesus Christ." The tabernacle's design and its function foreshadowed Christ's coming. He provided a new way for believers to connect with God. Think about this. Through Christ's life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, Jesus fulfilled the tabernacle's purpose. What was the purpose of the tabernacle? To offer a permanent solution to sin and a direct relationship with God. So as we enter into the year 2026, we should work every day to deepen our relationship with the Savior. And with the tabernacle as our backdrop this morning, I want us to consider a couple of different ways that you can strengthen your relationship with the Lord. First of all, You can learn more of the person of Jesus. If you want to strengthen your relationship with Jesus, you got to learn more about the person of Jesus. There's no way that I can deal with all the types and all the pictures of the tabernacle in just one part of one little message. But as we go through the details of the tabernacle here in Exodus chapter number 40, I want you to see some of the shadows and some of the glimpses of Jesus Christ, our Savior. For instance, in verse number 18, we see something about the framework of the tabernacle. It says this, "And Moses reared up the tabernacle and fastened its sockets and set up the boards thereof and put in the bars thereof and reared up the his pillars." If you study the details of this framework, it was designed to be exceptionally steady and durable. The winds in that desert wilderness could be raging strong. And so we find that God designed it and gave the directions to Moses to make it steady and durable. And just the same way, those who place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ will discover Him to be solid, discover Him to be steady, discover Him to be eternally sure. As Jude says this, "And able also to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceedingly joy." Well, in this chapter, we not only see the framework of the tabernacle, but notice very briefly the furniture. In very specific order, Moses arranges the furniture inside that tabernacle. And these pieces of furniture included the Ark of the Covenant. It included the table of showbread. It included the golden lampstand, the altar of incense, the laver, the brazen altar, and lastly, the veil of the temple. Each of these items and in the purpose that they serve, we find an aspect of the truth concerning the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish we had time to go through these pieces of furniture here today, but yet time would not allow us to do that. But it would be my hope and prayer that in 2026 we would go through a series on Sunday evening on the tabernacle and all that it means and all the types and all the pictures it is. Go through each piece of the furniture for us to give you a greater understanding of what the tabernacle pointed to, none other than Jesus Christ. And as you examine every detail in this tabernacle, you realize that just like a diamond that's being viewed through a jeweler's loop, Jesus reveals more facets of His character than you can initially see. A quick perusal through these chapters of the tabernacle without deeper understanding of it and a deeper study of it, you'll just go, "Oh, good, that's good. Oh, that's good. Oh, well." But listen, the truth is that, listen, it reveals more of His character than you can initially see by just a casual reading. There's more to Him than you can ever learn in 1,000 lifetimes in this tabernacle. But if it ought to be your goal to learn more and to discover a little more about Him each day. In 2026, your prayer ought to be like this great hymn. "More about Jesus, I would know. More of His grace, others show. More of His saving, fullness see. More of His love, who died for me." And then the chorus goes like this. "More, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. More of His saving, fullness see. More of His love, who died for me." Verse 2 goes like this. "More about Jesus, let me learn. More of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ for me." The song ends with the last verse, number 4. "More about Jesus on His throne, riches and glory all His own. More of His kingdom sure increase, more of His coming, Prince of Peace." So as you deepen your relationship with the Savior, you can learn more about the person of Jesus. But then notice something else. You will live more in the presence of Jesus. The more you learn about Him, the more you'll desire to live in His presence. Notice, live more in the presence of Jesus. When you look at the tabernacle up close, you'll see details and types and shadows that are fascinating, even inspiring. But when you step back and take a look at the tabernacle as a whole, it points to a deeper truth. Some of you may be wondering, what was the tabernacle? It was a place where the people of God would meet with God. In the tabernacle, the priests lived and worked in the literal presence of God. Here's the truth. If you want to deepen your relationship with Christ in the coming new year, remember the truth of the tabernacle and spend more time, get this, in the presence of Christ. Here's an admonition to you. Don't rush off in the morning without sitting down with Jesus and worshiping and praying in His very presence. Then as you go about your day, recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is near and fellowship with Him. Spend every moment you can in the presence of Jesus Christ. One of the classic works of Christian literature is a little book called Practice of the Presence of God. It was a collection of teachings and letters by a monk that was simply known as Brother Lawrence. In one of his letters, he says this, "Were I a preacher, I would above all things preach the practice of the presence of God. Were I a director, I would advise all the world to do that." Then he goes on to say this as he closes, "Resolve to spend the rest of your days in His sacred presence." You see, in the coming new year, if you desire to deepen your relationship with Jesus Christ, you must resolve to spend more time consciously living in the presence of Jesus Christ. Well, a good way to start the new year is to decide your response to the Scripture. Are you going to be obedient to it or not? Number two, deepen your relationship with the Savior. But then notice lastly, you should determine your reliance on the Spirit. Look down towards the end of chapter number 40 and notice what took place after Moses had completed the construction of the tabernacle. Look down at verse number 34. The Bible said in verse number 34, "Then a cloud covered the temple of the congregation." And get this, "and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." After the tabernacle was completed according to the instructions that God had given, His valuable presence literally moved into the tent. And as we see God's presence inside the tabernacle, we're reminded of God's presence in us, who those who have trusted in Christ as their Savior. And it's through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And just as God dwelt in the holies of holies in the tabernacle, God the Holy Spirit has made our bodies His temple. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" And then in John 14, 16 and 17, we find the Lord says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him." Notice the last part. "For He," speaking about the Holy Spirit, "dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And as we enter into 2026, it's good for me and it's good for you that we ought to be reminded of how much that we need the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God within us. Notice a couple of things that we must rely on the Spirit to provide during the coming year. Notice, first of all, we need His glory to fill us. Twice in this passage, in verses 34 and verse number 35, we find this phrase, "and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Verse number 35 indicates that the presence and the glory of God so filled the tabernacle. Notice what the Bible says, Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation. Get this, the tabernacle was so filled with God and His glory that there wasn't room for anybody or anything else in there but God Himself. I'm reminded of Paul writing to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 5 and verse number 18. He tells us this, "Be filled with the Spirit." That command is in a continual present tense. Literally, it means, "Be ye being filled in a continual present tense. In the year 2026, our prayer should be that every day the Spirit of God will continually fill our lives without interruptions. Our desire should be for the Spirit of God to so fill us and so control us like the tabernacle of old that the glory of God would be visible in our lives to a lost and dying world. Vance Havner once said this, "Some are not filled because they first must be emptied. Even God cannot fill what is already full." You see, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to have to empty yourself. Number one, empty yourself of self. Get rid of yourself and say, "God, I want to be used of you in this coming new year." You have to get rid of the world, the flesh and the devil, those things that hinder you from being used of God the way that God would require and desire you to be used. We need to empty ourselves out. And I think it would be good for every one of us this morning to take a good, hard look at ourselves, and we would ask ourselves this question to God: "God, what would you have me empty out of my life as we begin in 2026? Well, we must determine our reliance on the Spirit, not only because we need His glory to fill us, but notice lastly, we need His guidance to further us. Look again at our text and notice how the chapter closes in verse number 36. The Bible said, "And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys." Verse 37 explains that if the cloud didn't move, the children of Israel stayed still. And the point is exactly the same today. The same glory that filled the tabernacle in the wilderness is the same glory that guided and directed God's people. In just the same way, His Spirit fills us and leads us. Listen, when He is in control, we have direct guidance from heaven. I don't know what 2026 is going to bring. But I am certain of this. I'm certain there'll be difficult decisions that we'll have to make. There'll be some unforeseen changes in our personal and spiritual lives, as well in the life of Sharon Baptist Church. And no matter what twists and turns the future may bring, God residing in us, guess what, is an all-knowing God. By being attentive to His guidance as He leads us, we can embrace the future with confidence, knowing there's nothing to fear about what tomorrow is going to bring. I think of the words of that wonderful hymn entitled, "He Leadeth Me." He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort wrought. Whate'er I do, whate'er I be, 'tis still God's hand that leadeth me. The chorus continues, "He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me, His faithful follower I will be, for by His hand He leadeth me." I think one of the things that you and I need during the coming days as we start 2026 is understanding this. There is nothing more valuable, there is nothing more essential than God's leadership in our lives. And that's why it's so essential for us to trust and rely on the Holy Spirit wholeheartedly leading us and guiding us. Just think about it. If God was able to guide millions of Jews through a wilderness for 40 years, He can certainly lead one of us and our family safely into and through the new year. Sadly, many people are going to begin this new year with a hangover. And they'll begin this new year with resolutions that they'll probably break after the first week of January. Rather than wild parties and empty promises, those who know Jesus Christ should approach this new year with a different perspective than the world does. We should see the new year as a next step in our walk with Jesus and another year closer to the return of our Savior. And as I close this morning, I think there's some lessons we can draw from Moses and the children of Israel that started in their new year as described in Exodus chapter number 40. I think the first lesson we can learn is this, that let's recommit our lives to be obedient to the Word of God. Let's recommit our lives to be obedient to the Word of God. You might not like it. You might not totally understand it. But believe me this, it is God's Holy Word, and it's written for our admonition, and we ought to be obedient. Number two, we can refocus ourselves on our relationship with the Son of God. I think the problem with most Christians today is that we have a Savior who loved us and died for us on the cross, and about the only time that we remember Him is on Sunday when we're getting dressed to come to the house of the Lord. And so I think we need to refocus ourselves and our relationship with the Son of God. And then thirdly, let us rededicate ourselves to living the fullness of the Spirit of God. I want all that God has for me. I don't want partial because of my disobedience. I want all that God has for me. You say, well, how can I do that? Well, you can do that by deciding your responses to the Scripture. You can do that by deepening your relationship with the Savior. And lastly, by determining your reliance on the Spirit. What has God chosen to speak to your heart about this day as we move from one year into a new year? Let's pray.